The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is the verse number 13 of Proverbs chapter number 28. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Now Solomon, the son of David, is the penman of much of the book of Proverbs. And in many of the Proverbs that he wrote, you find him presenting to us a picture of contrast. You see an example of that in verse 1 of the chapter. There he speaks of the wicked fleeing, while on the other hand the righteous are bold and steadfast as a lion. He says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Also, if you look there at verse number 4 of the chapter, you see there how he tells of those who forsake the law of God and in such promote and exalt that which is evil and wicked. Well, on the other hand, he speaks also in the same verse of those who keep the law of God, and they are a force against that which is evil and ungodly. He says there in verse 4, "They that forsake the Lord praise the wicked," or if you like, promote the wicked. "But such as keep the law, contend with them," in other words, "are a restraint upon them in society and in the land." But then whenever we come to verse number 13, our text for this evening, you'll see there very clearly that the contrast here is between those who cover their sin and those who confess and forsake their sin. It says there, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And the contrast here that is before us in this verse is really a picture, if you like, a mirror image of our society before Almighty God. You think of our society tonight in general, our society at large. In our society, yes, there are multitudes of people who are unsaved. Multitudes on their way to a lost eternity in hell, and on their journey of life, they try to cover their sin. They try to hide their sin before Almighty God. Then on the other hand, in our society at large, yes, there are those who are saved, those who are on their way to heaven. And in this life, such are those who have confessed their sin, such are those who have forsaken their sin before Almighty God. And friends, tonight it is this contrasting picture of those who cover their sin and those who uncover their sin that I want us to look at and to consider briefly in this gospel meeting tonight. You'll notice, first of all, here with me, the great folly that is described. Look at the beginning there of the verse number 13. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." And the great folly here that is described and depicted is that of those who would try and cover their sin before the all-seeing eye of Almighty God. My in seeking to cover their sin, there are those, and they will try to deny the very fact that they've sinned, or the very fact that they're a sinner before God. I remember doing the doors down in Convoy many years ago when we labored there on one occasion in County Donegal. I remember meeting this gentleman in the doors. He was a Roman Catholic man, very friendly and affable and decent and mannerly in the doors. But in conversation with him about the things of God, he was adamant that he had never sinned, that he had never done anything wrong, that he was not a sinner before Almighty God. That was his mindset. That was his thinking, that he had never sinned in the sight of God. And that is the case, yes, with many in our society. Also, there are those and seeking to hide their sin. And they will try, as it were, to minimize their sin. They'll try to excuse their sin. And you see that every day in the public arena. You see that every day in the reports and the news and the media. And then there are others, and they'll try to hide their sin by dressing it up. maybe by good words or by good works or by religiosity in their life or in some aspect of their life that concerns them. And in the Bible, we have examples of such people. You think tonight of Adam and Eve away at the very beginning of time when they yielded to Satan and took the forbidden fruit and became sinners before Almighty God. The Bible says this, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why did they sew those fig leaves together and make themselves aprons? It was by their own efforts. They were seeking to hide the shame of their sin before Almighty God. That is how it is with many in society. Again, you think tonight of Cain. Whenever he slew his brother Abel, God spoke to Cain. And he says to Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And Cain answered with these words. He says, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" In other words, by such words, he was trying to hide his sin before Almighty God. He was trying to cover up his sin, as it says in our text before us this evening. You think also to that time whenever Israel were invading the promised land and whenever the city of Jericho fell. The command was given to the Israelites, they were to take nothing of the people of Jericho. Yet you read of a man called Achan in the camp of Israel. And the Bible tells us how he stole a Babylonian garment and a wedge of silver and gold, and he hid it in his tent, and he thought no one knew, but God knew, and why he was found out. He tried to cover his sin, to hide his sin before God. Think also over in the New Testament, the book of the Acts. In the early New Testament church in Acts chapter 5, there you read of two characters, a husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, and they kept back part of the price. The Bible says they lied to God, the Holy Ghost. My, they tried to hide their sin before God, but again, they were found out. They tried to cover their sin before the all-seeing eye of Almighty God. Oh, dear friend, in our meeting tonight, realize this and understand this. It is folly. It is the deepest of follies to try and hide your sin and try and cover your sin from before Almighty God. What does the Bible say about God? It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." In other words, God sees everything. You cannot hide your sin from God. You cannot cover your sin before Almighty God. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Lord says in His Word, "I, the Lord, search the heart." It is folly to try and hide and cover your sin from before Almighty God. What does it say in our text? Let's look at the Word of God. It says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." That's a warning from God about this, that it is folly, that you cannot prosper, you cannot be blessed as far as God is concerned if you try to hide and cover your sin before the Almighty God. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." Friend, understand tonight this, that God knows all about your sin. You cannot hide your sin from God. And my, if you remain in your unsaved condition, the Bible warns you that on God's judgment day, you'll be called to give account for your sin. And because of your sin, you will suffer the penalty, the Bible warns you of eternal punishment and hell forevermore for your sin. You cannot escape that if you come before God in the day of judgment unsaved in your sin. Turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 20, the very last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter number 20. Look with me, please, at verse number 12 and verse number 15. And this here speaks of those who are unsaved before the Lord in the day of judgment. Those who are still in their sins before God. And it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life." In other words, the deeds of this life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And friend, that's the end of sin. That's the end of a person's life who tries to hide their sin before God in this life and is brought before God in the day of judgment to give account of their sin. Whosoever was not written in the book of life, whosoever name was not in the book of life, we're told there, shall be cast into the lake of fire. And friend, this is the reason why you cannot prosper. If you try to hide and cover your sin by yourself before Almighty God, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. In this time, in this world, from the very beginning of time, there's been multitudes who have tried to cover their sin, tried to dismiss it, to ignore it. Yet on the day of judgment, all will be called to give account for their sin before God. And such unsaved who have tried to hide and cover their sin up on earth by their own works, their own religiosity, whatever it is, their own fig leaves of self-righteousness, whatever it might be. The Bible speaks of such and warns of such and says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the end, the outworking, the folly, the ultimate end of the folly of trying to hide your sin in life from before Almighty God. Yes, see here the folly that is described in this verse. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. I trust that's not you in the meeting tonight. That you'll not go down that road of folly of trying to hide and cover your sins yourself before Almighty God. Yes, the folly that is described. Notice secondly here in this verse, notice the acknowledgement that is made. Look at what the verse goes on to say. It says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. Think of those words. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. What does that mean? Those words there really describe a person who acknowledges their sin before Almighty God. Those words describe the person who takes the sinner's place before God their Maker, before God their Creator. And friend, in our meeting tonight, if you are ever to be saved, you must acknowledge your sin before the God of heaven. You must come to this place in your life's experience when you acknowledge your sin before God and take the sinner's place before Almighty God. What does this acknowledgement mean? And this acknowledgement means you confessing your sins to God. That's what it means. You confessing your sins to God. This is how it was with David. Listen to what David says in Psalm 32, verse 5. He says there, I will acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. What was David talking about there? Confessing, acknowledging his sins, his iniquities, his transgressions unto the Lord. You think of what the Bible says about the prodigal son in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. He said before his father, I have sinned against heaven. What was he doing? He was acknowledging, he was confessing his sin before the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John there is speaking about confessing our sins to God. What were the words of Charles Wesley, the great hymn writer? He said, I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. What was he doing? Acknowledging, confessing his sin before God. Man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, if you are to be saved from your sins, you must confess your sins to the Lord. That is what our text tells you to do when it says, whoso confesseth them. Tell me tonight, have you confessed your sins to the Lord? Have you taken the sinner's place before God? Have you acknowledged your sin before Almighty God? But might as well as confessing one sin to God, you'll see something else here in this acknowledgement. that it also means a forsaking, or if you like, a repenting of sin. Look at what the verse goes on to say. It says there, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. And there Solomon is talking about sin. And this is what repentance is. It's a forsaking of sin. That means a person turning their back upon their sin, turning away from their sin. This is what God called ancient Israel to do in the book of Ezekiel when he said, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? He was calling them to forsake their sin, to repent of their sin, to turn their back as a nation upon their sins and to turn away from their sins. Again, if you turn with me over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, Luke's Gospel chapter number 15, and there you come to the account of the prodigal son. And in the life of the prodigal son, you have one of the greatest examples of repentance that there is in all of the Bible. And here the Lord Jesus Christ tells the story of the young man who got his inheritance and he left home. He went into the far country and he spent his substance in riotous living. He lived an ungodly life. And then he began to be in want. God broke him. God brought him to his knees. God brought him to his senses. He began to be in want. And he realized the folly of his ways. And my, you'll see from the passage that he turned away from his sin and a sinful life. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15 there, and the verse number 17. Look at what it says. It says, and when he came to himself, in other words, when he turned away from the folly of his sin, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And then look at the very next verse, verse 20. It says, and he arose, and he came to his father. What was he doing when it says there he arose? He was turning his back upon the far country, upon that old sinful way of life, that riotous living that he had been involved in. When he had spent all his substance, he turned his back upon it. He left it behind him. And he turned to the Lord. That was repentance. A forsaking of sin. A turning of his back upon his sin. And a turning toward God. And that's what our text here is dealing with tonight when it speaks of this great acknowledgement that is made and says about sin. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. Friend, in the meeting, the Lord here is speaking to your heart through his word, and he calls you through his word to confess your sins to God. Not to a preacher, a minister, a pastor, or whatever, but to God. And he calls you through his word to repent of your sin, to forsake your sin, to turn your back upon your sin. And friend, God calls you and I, each and every one of us, to repent of our sins. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Not one of us here in this meeting are exempt from this call to repentance. It applies to every single one of us in this gathering, no matter who we are, no matter what our background is. If you and I are to be saved from our sins, we must repent of our sins. We must forsake our sins. There can be no salvation. The Bible makes it very clear, without repentance. Listen to the words of Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, twice over. He says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The very first message that Christ preached here on earth was the message of repentance, to turn away from sin and turn to the Lord. Dear friend, to be wise in God's sight, yes, it means you confessing your sin to God. It means you repenting of your sin before Almighty God. The great folly, it's folly to hide your sin, and cover your sin, and dismiss your sin. It goes against the grain of man by nature, but it's folly. It says here, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But the great acknowledgement here that is to be made, the wise way that is to be taken, the path that is to be chosen if we're to be wise before the Lord, is to confess our sins to the Lord and forsake our sins before the Lord. It's the folly here that is mentioned, the acknowledgement that is made. Notice one final thought here. Notice the great promise that is given. Look at the very final part of the verse, and there you see the promise, as it were, in black and white, in those last three words of the text where it says, shall have mercy. This is God's word. God cannot lie. His word says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. In other words, God's saving mercy. That's what Solomon is talking about here. The saving mercy of God is promised to the person who confesses their sin to God. It is promised to the person who repents of their sin before Almighty God. God says in His Word that such shall have mercy. They'll know the saving mercy of God in their heart and life and soul. What a mercy that is. The Bible tells us that God's saving mercy, it's a pardoning mercy. It's a forgiving mercy. You see, in the grounds of the shed blood of Christ, God, He pardons those who repent and confess their sins to Him. That's what God does. He pardons, He forgives their sins on the grounds of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His eternal Son, who died for sinners upon the cross. Turn with me your Bible over to the New Testament book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2. And look with me, please, at verse number 2 of that same chapter. 1 John chapter 2 and the verse number 2. Here John is speaking about Christ and the sacrifice of Christ and indeed the effect of that sacrifice of Christ upon the cross for sinners. And in 1 John chapter 2 and the verse number 2, he says these words about Christ. He says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Think of that great word, propitiation. It's a Bible word. It's a great word in the gospel. What does it mean? It simply means to appease God's wrath. What is John telling us there? He's telling us that Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary has satisfied God's justice, the claims of the justice of God, and has appeased His wrath. Therefore, God is one who is able to justly forgive sin and show mercy, pardoning mercy to the repentant sinner who confesses their sin to Him. Friends, see the great mercy here that is promised. If you repent of your sins and confess your sins to God on the ground of the atoning sacrifice of Christ, what will God do? He will pardon. He will forgive all your sins. Every single sin He'll pardon. He'll blot them out. Listen to His promise in Isaiah 43, verse 25. He says, I, even I, am He that the blood of out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. In Psalm 103, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. David knew that pardoning mercy through the blood of Christ. And friend, this is what God will do with your sins. If you come to Him by faith, confess your sins to Him as a repentant sinner, and trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God will pardon all your sin. You'll know His pardoning mercy. But you know, we can also say further tonight, not only is God's saving mercy a pardoning mercy, His saving mercy is a sufficient mercy. The Bible says the Lord is plenteous in mercy. Friend, the Lord's saving mercy, it's like a great ocean that never ends, that you can never fathom or plumb the depths of. What does that mean for you? It means this: no matter who you are, no matter what your sins are, no matter what your sins have been, you confess your sin to God and trust in the sacrifice and the blood of Christ to cleanse away your sin, God will save your soul. God will pardon all your sins. The psalmist says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him." The hymn writer says, "Who is a pardoning God like unto thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? There's none like the Lord in his pardon, I tell you." Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And look there at verse number 7. And here you see the sufficient mercy of God, the abundant mercy of God and pardon and salvation that he affords to those who come to him as repentant sinners, who confess their sins to him, who trust in the sacrifice of Christ for salvation. He says there in verse 7 of Isaiah 55, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God," notice what it says, "for he will abundantly pardon." Notice not, it's not a meager pardon. It's not a half-hearted pardon. No, that's not God's work. That's not how God deals in salvation. It's an abundant pardon. Tell me tonight, have you tasted of that abundant pardon? Can you look back to a time in your own life's experience when you came before God as a repentant sinner, confessing your sin, trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sin, and to know God's abundant pardon in your soul? His saving mercy is a pardoning mercy. The saving mercy, yes, it is a sufficient mercy. One final thought you'll notice also from the Bible, that God's saving mercy, it's an everlasting mercy. It's a mercy that never ends. Glory to God. You see, whenever you confess your sins to God, you trust in the sacrifice of Christ for the pardon of all your sins, God, he bestows upon you, this is his promise, and God cannot lie, he bestows upon you the wonderful gift of eternal life, life that will never end, everlasting life. He will give you a place in his heaven. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life, and they will never perish who trust in Christ. Repent of their sins and confess their Lord and rest upon Christ for salvation. Job says of such, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit. God, yes, will deliver you from hell. And he will take you to heaven. He will take you to glory. You remember the dying thief who was crucified beside the Lord for his sins, his crimes in society? He realized that he was a sinner. He confessed his sin before the Lord. He acknowledged his sin before God. He repented of his sin. And he trusted in the Lord. And he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What did Christ say to him? He said, "Today shalt thou be with me, the Savior, me, the Son of God, in paradise, in glory." That very day, that old repentant thief was to enter into the glory of heaven. And my, he's still in heaven, basking in God's eternal mercy, rejoicing in the great gift of God's salvation and of God's everlasting life that he bestows upon every repentant sinner who confesses their sins to him and trusts in the redeeming work of Christ upon the cross. And dear friend, whenever you trust the Lord as Savior, as repentant sinner, what does it mean for you? It means this: whenever you come to die, should the coming of the Lord tarry and leave this world, the Bible says that your soul will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You'll go immediately to be with the Lord in heaven, the Bible says, which is far better. Your body, yes, will be laid in the grave of Mother Earth, and when the Lord returns, Bible says your body will be called forth. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first. The great day of God's glorious resurrection when he returns again, and your body will rise immortal. It will rise incorruptible and be reunited with your glorified soul in heaven forevermore. That's the mercy of God. To those who on earth confess their sins to God, repent of their sins before God, and trust in His eternal Son and in His sacrifice alone for salvation. You know, there's a story told during the American Civil War. The son of a judge who went off to fight in the war. The name of that son was Charlie. And one day a severely wounded soldier entered into the judge's office and he presented a letter to the judge that was written by the son of the judge. And as the letter was opened and as the judge read that letter, he read these words. He says, "This young man belongs to my company. He was wounded in the defense of his country. If he calls on you, treat him kindly." Then it said these words, "For Charlie's sake." You know, the father treated that wounded soldier well. Why? For the sake of his own son whom he loved and cherished dearly. And likewise, dear friend, for the sake of Christ, God's eternal Son, God's beloved Son, what will God do with you? He will save you. He will take you to heaven when you trust Him as a repentant sinner and confess your sins to Him. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Friend, if you're still not saved, heed tonight the verse. Heed the Word of God. Realize that it is folly to cover your sin. It's folly to dismiss your sin. It's folly, as it were, to try and blot it out yourself and put it to the one side. But it is wise. It's the wisest thing you can ever do. To confess your sin to God, to forsake your sin, repent of it. Put your faith, your trust in the Lord. Listen to the Word of God. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." May you know that saving mercy of God in your soul tonight for time and all of eternity by repenting of your sin and trusting Christ as your Redeemer. We're going to conclude our service this evening.